Hello, folks. It's Pastor Brandon coming to you live from Siloam Springs, Arkansas, with another Pastor Brandon live broadcast. It's good to be here today. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for those who will be tuning in. And we're going to be talking about today. Today's lesson is going to be actually out of John chapter 4, verse 22. And I actually had a request from some elders that they wanted me to kind of put something together and kind of put a sermon together about what I think what John chapter 4, verse 22 means. And I know there might be some confusion, and it's going to be kind of a lengthy, I got like 5 pages of notes. And I got a lot of stuff on this. And anyway, so that's what we're going to be talking about today. And with that said, I want to just quickly do some prayers and praises. Keep me in prayer. Continue to keep me and my family in prayer. Please continue to keep the ministry in prayer. Got a praise from Brother Joey. His family member got saved. This is a family member that's on his deathbed, and he got saved, so pray that he will be able to, you know, grow a little bit and be able to kind of learn a little bit from the Word of God before he goes home to be with the Lord. Please pray for Brother Joey as he is having some pain. And he's having some pain, back pain, and so pray that he gets comforted. Please pray. And any of you guys have prayer requests, if you have prayer requests, please pray for our brothers and sisters across this nation. Please pray for our government. Our government is getting kind of wily, especially the Democrats. And actually, I have my button here. Let me get my buttons pulled up here real quick. especially the Democrats. They're getting a little wily, so pray for our nation, pray for our leaders, and pray for Trump, pray for Kavanaugh, pray that Kavanaugh gets in. And, you know, what's disturbing is how you get all these Democrats that's trying to make a political sideshow of the Supreme Court. It's not right. They shouldn't be making any sideshow whatsoever. So, and by the way, a lot of those Democrats are just make themselves look like. Also, I'm willing to bet that, especially Hillary Clinton, is a witch. She is a witch. And I bet you there's a lot of witches and warlocks in the Democratic Party, as well as maybe some in the Republican Party. Anyways, That's my little prayer request there. So we're gonna go ahead. I got a lot of information to share. I got information that is going to be quite to the enemy. Let's put it that way. It's gonna be quite explosive against the enemy. We're going to go ahead and get started, because I got like 5 pages of notes, and I don't want to rush things, but I don't want to keep anyone longer than I need to. So, with that said, turn with me into your Bibles, into John chapter 4, verse 22. John chapter 4, 22. Now, I was asked by request if I could do this to kind of give kind of what my thoughts were on this, and I'm going to really try to not give my thoughts on it as per really just showing you from Scripture, you know, just letting Bible define Bible. And if I'm wrong at certain things, then let God correct me and show me, but if I'm right, then let Him show you, amen? So, John chapter 4, verse 22. This is the verse. It says, "Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Okay? So, let's get some context on what this is talking about. Okay? Let's get some context here. We're going to sort of go up to, I hate to go all the way back to verse 1, but why don't we go to verse 5? Let's go to verse 5. It says, "Then he cometh to a city in Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus in the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof, himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of his water, of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up in everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sayest thou truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. So, what we read there was that Jesus was in a city in Samaria. Okay? Now, let's take a look at what Jesus meant by ye worship ye know not what. Okay? If you turn with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 17, verses 24 through 34. Okay? And to save some time, I'm going to kind of read from my notes. So, it says this. It says, And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and from Cuthah, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Sepharvaim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria. Now, really quickly, I want you to notice, there are five nations mentioned. Just what I just read. There's five of them. Okay? There is five. In the cities of Samaria, instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord set lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he hath set lions among them, And behold, they slay them because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel, and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Howbeit, every nation made gods of their own, and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made. Okay, so we see that the Samaritans did not fear God. They worshipped other gods. And the king of Assyria that brought these men from these five different places probably brought their gods and their idols into Samaria and worshipped those and worshipped their idols in that land. Amen? Now, every nation and their cities wherein they dwell, and the men of Babylon made Sukkoth, Benoth, and the men of Kuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath and Ashima, and the Avites made Nebahats and Tartak, the Sepharites, burnt their children in fire to Adramelech and Anamalek. Oh man, I can't pronounce these names. And Anamalek, the gods of Severim. So they feared the Lord and made themselves of the lowest of the priests of the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses. For the high places, they feared the Lord. They served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. Unto this day, they do after their former manners. They feared not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandment which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. Okay, so now here's what's interesting. The king of Assyria, like I said, the king of Assyria brought men from five different places and put them in the cities of Samaria. Okay, now remember, there's a city in Samaria that Jesus went to speak to this woman. Okay, now going back way before Jesus even came on the scene, the king of Assyria brought men from five different places. One of them in which was Babylon. The second one was Cutha. The third one is Ava. The fourth one is Hamath. The fifth one is Zephyrim. And the people that dwelt in those cities didn't know God. Most likely, like I said, these Samaritans were committing adultery, i.e. idolatry, with the gods of these five nations, which means Samaria probably had, check this out, five husbands that they were going with. Okay? Think about what Jesus said to the Samaritans. Think about what Jesus said to the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, verse 16 through 18, Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. Okay? Now, could it be that the adultery she committed wasn't just five literal husbands that she had, but could it also reference idolatry as well? Now, when I say that, what we read about these five different nations coming into Samaria, could they be five husbands that were basically that this Samaria was going around with? Basically. So could it be that what I mean by these five different nations, as per idolatry, like worship of false gods? Amen? So could it also correlate to spiritual adultery is idolatry. Therefore, that would show what Jesus meant when he said, "Ye worship ye know not what," in John 4:22. Okay? Now, I'll be getting into that in a little bit. Okay? Now, the Samaritans subsequently intermixed with the Israelites, returning with Ezra and Nehemiah. Okay, in Nehemiah 13:3, it says, "Now it came to pass when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude." So they were all mingled together with different people, and God said, "You weren't supposed to do that, lest your hearts be turned away from me." Okay? Now, in Nehemiah chapter 13, verses 23 to 31, "In those days also saw I Jews that had married wives of Ashdod, of Ammon, and of Moab, and their children spake half in the speech of Ashdod, and could not speak in the Jews' language, but according to the language of each people. And I contended with them, and cursed them, and smote certain of them, and plucked off their hair, and made them swear by God, saying, Ye shall not give your daughters unto their sons, nor take their daughters unto your sons, or for yourselves. Did not Solomon, king of Israel, sin by these things? Yet among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God, and God hearkened unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against God and marrying strange wives. And one of the sons of Jodiah, the son of Eliashib, the high priest, was a son-in-law to Sambalat the Horite. Therefore, I chased him from me. Remember them, O my God, because they have defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Thus cleansed I them from all strangers and appointed the wards of the priests and the Levites, every one in his business, and for the wood offering at times appointed, and for the first fruits. Remember me, O my God, for good." Now, most likely the Israelites had mingled and mixed with, probably with the Samaritan people, with the Samaritans at that time, as well as all those other groups. Now remember that the Samaritans are probably going to most likely, and if they really did mingle with themselves, that means their offspring is going to probably be part Jew and part Gentile. So they're not fully full-blooded Jew, and they're not full-blooded Gentile. It's just kind of half and half. So, because the Samaritans didn't know God, but were worshiping five different false gods, and when I say five, I mean these five from these different five different locations. Where did I leave off here? Okay, so they probably had a generation being raised up that didn't know who God is. And by that, they were committing whoredoms to different husbands or gods. You know what I'm saying? They would have gone whoring after other false gods. Or false gods, I should say. And by the way, if you don't know the Lord, and if you go after other gods, those other gods that you go after, you don't know who they are. Those false gods are unknown. They are unknown gods. And actually, I'm going to prove that to you right now. Okay? So, here's the thing. In a nutshell, when Jesus said, "Ye worship ye know not what," he could be referring to the idolatry that they've been committing. And here's why I say that. In Acts chapter 17, verses 22 to 23, okay, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill." By the way, Mars Hill, that is not the planet Mars. That's a joke. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship him, declare I unto you. So the people of Mars Hill, not the planet, had an inscription to an unknown God that they were worshiping ignorantly. They didn't know who they were worshiping. Could it maybe be that maybe the Samaritans were probably involved with some sort of idolatry, some spiritual adulterous thing where they were worshiping idols and they didn't know who they were? Because I'm going to tell you something. When you read on in that story, what happens to the woman? The woman goes out in her own hometown and tells people about Jesus. And people come up to them and they get saved. So a woman who was caught in adultery goes off and tells people about Jesus, and these people come to Jesus and get set free and be made free. Amen? So could it be that the Samaritans were into idolatry? Probably. This is probably why when Jesus said, "You know not what you worship," is because they probably didn't know what they were worshiping. Because that stuff was probably passed down to where they just went along with it. By the way, a generation being raised up that doesn't know God. That's our nation, ain't it? Our nation, the church, is not doing its job by passing down the Word of God to the next generation. And because of that, there's a generation being raised up that is brainwashed and doesn't know the Lord, and they're God haters. And by the way, one of these days is going to be a massive explosion. Think about that. There is a generation right now that doesn't know God. And why? Because the church is failing at its job. We wonder, we sit here and we wonder, why is our youth being the way it is? You know why? Partially it's because of politics. Because a lot of these donkeys and politics, but they're not the main problem. Yes, they're partially to blame, but it's mainly the church. Because the church ain't doing its job. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? The church is not doing its job. This is why we have so many problems here in this nation. Anyways, kind of getting off topic. We'll come back here. So the next thing I want to take a look at is when Jesus says, "We know who we worship." And here's the thing. The Samaritans were probably more Gentile than they were Jew. But they're kind of half and half. We really don't know. I'm guessing more half and half. But here's the thing. The Jews knew who they served. The Israelites knew who they worshipped. Even though a lot of them rejected the Lord, they knew and they worshiped God. They knew who God was. Even the Pharisees worshiped God. But their worship is done in vain. So, we see that the Israelites, they knew who they worshiped, but a lot of them rejected. Amen? So, I'm going to prove that in Scripture. Okay? In Exodus chapter 14, verse 31, it says, "If Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Folks, that is Old Testament. That is Old Testament. And this is, we're just talking specifically the Hebrews. We're talking specifically the Israelites. God's chosen. God's people. Amen? Now, Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. It says, and the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that He had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. This was before Jesus Christ. The Israelites worshipped. But you know what? Egyptians didn't. You know why? Because the Egyptians were into idol worship, and they were into the worship of Horus and all these other pantheon gods that they worshipped. They were whoring around with false deities. And yet you see that the Israelites worshipped the Lord. They knew who God was. They saw what He did. That's what I think what Jesus meant was, we know who we worship. Jesus is right on that. Amen? So, Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 9 through 11. And didst see the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and heardst their cry by the Red Sea, and shewest signs and wonders upon Pharaoh and all his servants and all the people of his land. For thou knewest that they dwelt proudly against them. So didst thou get thee a name, as it is this day, and thou didst divide the sea before them, so that they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors thou thrust into the deeps, as a stone into the mighty waters. Now, that was in the Old Testament. Let's bring it to the New Testament. Let's bring it to the Pharisees. And by the way, a lot of the Pharisees and what they did, they kind of made themselves look like... A lot of the Pharisees made themselves look like donkeys. Because a lot of them were donkeys. Actually, I'm probably willing to bet that we have Democrats that are just as worse, if not even more so worse, than the Pharisees. Okay, but the Pharisees, they knew who they worshipped, but their worship was done in vain. Okay, now this is as per the Pharisees now. Isaiah 29:13. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Okay, Matthew 15:7-9. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Mark 7:6-7. He answered and said unto them, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you, of you hypocrites, it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandment of men. The Pharisees knew who they were worshiping, but their worship towards God was in vain. And what they did was they took that which was supposed to be holy, which was the commandments, and they attached their own human traditions to it, and they force people to abide by it, which bringing damnation upon their heads. Now, so as we see that even the Pharisees knew who they worshipped, but their worship was in vain, and Jesus tells us that the true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth, and that's something the Pharisees will have an issue with. You know why they're having an issue with it? Because their heart is far from them. God wants your heart. If there's anybody watching, I want to let you know that God wants your heart. He wants your heart. Amen? God wants your heart. He wants to change your heart. God wants to live in your heart. But God, if there's anything that God wants, it's your heart. John 4:23-24. But the hour cometh, and it now is, when the true worshippers fall. Oh, not fall. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Okay? Now, that's the first part of the verse. We just sort of went through a whole bunch of information, but that's like the first half of that particular verse in John chapter 4, verse 22. Now let's take a look at the second half of it. Okay? The next thing is I want to take a look at is where Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. Okay? Now when people read that, people might have this misconception that, oh, well, if salvation is of the Jews, that means only the Jews can be saved. No. Salvation is for everybody, but salvation is of the Jews. You know why? Here's why. Because when we take a look at this, we have to So, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I believe the reason why salvation is of the Jews is because Jesus Christ came out of one of the tribes of Israel, not out of a Gentile nation. The reason why salvation is of the Jews is because Jesus Christ came out of the tribe of Judah. He didn't come out of a Gentile nation. He came out of Israel. Why? Because Israel was the group of people that God chose. Israel is God is the eye is the apple of God's eye. Not eye, sorry. That didn't sound right. Hang on. Israel is the apple of God's eyes. Amen. Israel is God's people. Amen. So, here's the thing. God intended for the Jews to be the one to go out and evangelize to other nations. But here's the thing. That didn't work out because they rejected their Messiah. God had intended for the Jews to go out and evangelize. Like how we are. Okay? How we are is what God intended for the Jews to do. But the thing is, the Jews rejected their Messiah. Okay? They rejected Jesus Christ. So what happened? God went to the Gentiles instead. But just because God went to the Gentiles, God's going back to Israel. He's got a plan for Israel. He's got a plan for the Jews. Amen? God is not through with them. Okay? God is not through with them. So, in Acts chapter 13, verses 46 through 47, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." Even though we have the message of salvation, it still needs to go to the Jew first. Because it was the Jews that God called to evangelize. And by the way, God's not done with His people. I don't care what people have to say, but God is not done with the Jews and He's not done with Israel. Israel has a big part in the last days. Big part. By the way, God's going to defend Israel. God's going to defend His people. Whether Jew or Gentile, God is going to defend His people. Can I get an amen from God's people on that? Hang on a second. Oh. A little bit late. Okay. Matthew chapter 15, verses 22 through 28. And behold, a woman of Canaan. Okay. Canaan is a Gentile nation. Okay? Keep that in mind. Canaan is a Gentile nation. Okay? But let's read on. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Okay, this proves my whole point that God chose the Jews to go out and evangelize first. Why? Because the children in that particular instance represent Israel. Dogs represent us Gentiles. You know why? Because us Gentiles, including me, can act like a dog once in a while. Amen? We can be like dogs. We're like dogs. It says, and she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Again, there's another account in Mark. Mark chapter 7, verses 25 to 29. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled. Let the children first be filled. Let Israel first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it onto the dogs. And she answered, and she said unto him, Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, Go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. This woman was a Gentile. It wasn't yet time yet for the Gentiles to receive. But for Israel, why? Because Jesus said, I've gone out to save, to seek and save to the house of Israel first. Okay? First. It's supposed to be Israel first. The Jews first. That's why it's the Jew first and then the Greek. Amen? So, man, I'm getting passionate. I love this. The reason why the Jews have to be first is because Jesus even says, Let the children first be filled. It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Let the children first be filled. Amen? You know, and that shows you that Jesus loves the children. Amen? You know, I think it's a shame and how all these witches and warlocks have to abuse these innocent little kids. It's not right. It is not right for these innocent kids to be sacrificed and eaten. It's not. It's wrong. And how many people are willing to get on Facebook or to get on YouTube and say, it is wrong, and preach against stuff like this? This is why our nation is so screwed up, and this is why a massive explosion of heresy and wrongdoings and witchcraft is happening in this nation. Why? Because the church is not doing its job. Amen? The church needs to start doing its job and start proclaiming the gospel and teaching the truth as it is. That is why the ministry is fishers of men. Why? Because when you fish for men, you tell it as it is. You tell it as it is. And you don't sugarcoat things. Because truth ain't pretty. By the way, you notice that Jesus spoke more in hell than he did in heaven. I think it's because the reason why Jesus spoke more in hell than he did heaven, why? Was to show people the end result of their actions. So that Jesus can actually give them a hope. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our hope. Amen? So, we have to understand that salvation isn't just for the Jews only. But salvation is of the Jews because Jesus Christ came out of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ is from the tribe of Judah. That is why he's called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Amen? And because Jesus Christ came out of the tribe of Judah, the Jews need to be ministered first, because Jesus said that the children must first be fed. So in conclusion with that, I believe that what Jesus meant by when he said, ye worship ye know not what, we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Okay, this is going to be wrapping it up now. In conclusion with that, is that number one, is that the Samaritans were most likely idol worshippers. But I'm going to tell you something. I bet you a whole lot of them repented and turned away from their sin and accepted Jesus Christ when that woman went out and told people about Jesus. Okay? I bet that the Samaritans were most likely idol worshippers. And because they had generations that were being raised up that didn't know the Lord. And because of that, the gods that they served were unknown to them. Okay? We saw that from the book of Acts. Okay? I believe that the Jews who knew who they were... I believe that the Jews knew... They knew who they worshipped because God was the one that didn't just work miracles for the Jews, but I think they all knew who he was, even though a lot of them rejected him. In other words, the Jews knew, they know who God is. But the thing is that a lot of them have rejected their Messiah, and they can't see the New Testament because of the veil over their face. All they see is the Old Testament. All they see is the law. Okay? You can still see God in that, but it's going to be very difficult to see God in that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not... But you know what I'm saying, is that they have a veil over their face, but they know who God is, and they worship him, but the worship is done in vain. So they know who he is, even though a lot of them have rejected him. And lastly, is that salvation is for everyone, but salvation came from the Jews because Jesus Christ is our salvation, and he came from the tribe of Judah. Luke chapter 1, verse 69. And hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. In Luke chapter 2, verse 25 through 30. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed on him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Amen. So Jesus Christ is the one who came out of Judah, and which was concerned nothing of the priesthood. Okay, so anyways, now I'm back on. Okay, I apologize for that delay. I don't know what happened. It kind of cut out there, but now I'm back live. So Jesus Christ is our hope and salvation that came from the tribe of Judah, where the priesthood was not, in which the priesthood was only concerning to the tribe of Levi. Amen. So, listen, I hope this was a blessing to you. I hope that what I said made sense. I know I sort of rambled on quite a bit. And listen, God loves each and every single one of you. For the believer, I want to encourage you to stay strong and continue contending for the faith. For those who don't believe, today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He wants you to come to Him and accept Him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is who He says He is, and has come to do what He came to do, and you put your faith and trust in Him, you'll be saved. And I'll tell you something. Once you're saved, God seals you with His Spirit. Amen. So, listen. I love you guys. Because I love you guys, I tell you the truth. But here's the thing. I will always tell you, don't take my word for things, because I can mislead anybody without realizing it. I want you guys to take what I say and match it with the Word of God. If I'm wrong, then let God chasten me and show me where I'm wrong. But if I'm right, I pray and ask that He would show you what I'm talking about. Amen? But anyways, I hope you guys got something out of this today. I know it was quite a bit, and I hope it was educational. I love you guys. We might do a little devotional tonight. We'll see. We might even do a devotional tomorrow. Keep me in prayer. Keep this ministry in prayer. Keep these videos in prayer. Here's the thing. I want you guys to pray that God will take these videos and interject them in countries that need to hear the gospel, like China and Russia and all these other like places that are quite strict on Bible Christianity. My hope and prayer is that this can be reached out, that people can receive the gospel and the good news. Amen. Anyways, listen, I love you guys. This is Pastor Brandon. I'm signing off for the day. We'll probably do a short little devotion tonight. I love you guys. You guys have a great weekend. Have a great day. Have a great Lord's Day tomorrow, and have a great time in church. Have a great time with just fellowshipping with one another in the Lord. And we'll see you next time. I love you guys. God bless you. And remember, till next time, think Bible. God bless you guys. Love you. See you. Bye.